Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Amen. If you're a visitor here tonight, we want to say we welcome you here. Amen. Good to have you. God's good. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit. You don't have to stand because I got different scriptures to read. We're going to start with Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned. All of us. Look at the person beside you and say, you too. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I hate to do this to you again, but I made some signs because I think it just helps us to see it. And some people's like, man, I like illustrations. I like to see it. And we went through the whole doctrine of dispensation with signs, like literal signs, not like signs, but signs. So I need some volunteers. I'm so glad you came first. It'll be just a minute. I'll get you in just a minute. This is where we begin. This is where we begin. This is called the gun chain. If you'll throw my slide up there. Anybody know this word? What is it? Anybody want to try it? That's it. Ordo salutis. What it is, it's Latin for the order of salvation. It's the order of salvation. How many people in here are saved right now? All right. How many people are being saved right now? Like, yeah, I am. I'm being saved. Salvation, I do not believe is a process, but I believe salvation does a work in your life that proceeds forward. So we say sanctification is a process, but before any of this happens, here's who you are. You are unrepented. You have not repented yet. We call these people sinners. We call them heathens. We call them lost, don't we? Unregenerate, right? They've not been regenerated yet. There's a lot of names that we had for. I mean, she said it herself. I was a heathen, and she was good at it. And the problem is the only difference between this guy and the saved person is one of them changed their mind. And that's what repentance is. Repentance is a changing of your mind. Now, when you change your mind, you'll change your direction. Amen? It's hard to change your direction without changing your mind. So repentance is a changing of your mind, which produces a changing in direction. But before that, you are lost and you are unrepented. Now, salvation has already been paid for. Your way out has already been paid for. We understand that term as the ransom. The ransom has been paid. The money has already been paid. Amen? He's already taken care of that at Calvary. And because the ransom has already been paid, the issue is it's not a matter of can you be saved? It's a matter of will you be saved? Because when Jesus paid the price, he didn't pay the price for a select few. He paid the price for the whole world. And there's an open invitation. Said, come. He that doesn't have money, let him come. Let him drink freely. If you don't have anything, let him come. He said, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs to the kingdom? That's us. That's us. We are rich in faith because what works repentance is the kindness of God. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. So this man is unrepentant. The problem is he's not seeking after God. He is walking according to the course of this world. Amen? He's walking according to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All of these things work in him. He's not looking for Jesus. But this is what makes Christianity different than every other religion. Every religion is man's search for God. Christianity is God's search for man. Jesus came to where we were to bring us out. So there is a call that goes forth. And oh man, this call. Do you remember the night that God called you? Do you remember where you were the night that you surrendered your life to Jesus? Raise your hand if you remember. Man, what a night or what a day. And how many people were in church when it happened? Raise your hand. Look around. The majority of us were in a church. How many people weren't in church when it happened? Quite a few were not in church when it happened. Hey, God's not limited to four walls when he makes this call. I got to repeat this. I've heard stories of men that get out of a dozer on a strip job and kneel down beside a track and give their life to Jesus Christ. Because God's not limited by a church service. Church is important, don't get me wrong. But Jesus can do it anytime he wants, anywhere he wants. It doesn't matter. So this man is walking according to, psychologists call it a frequency. We all walk according to a frequency. You ever heard that term? Do you know what frequency is? Anybody know what an AM, FM transistor radio used to sound like? Anybody have a transistor radio? Raise your hand. Anybody? You know what they sounded like? They made these, and then you hear people talking, and you was trying to find the right frequency. You was trying to find where you would match up with it. And they say that we all walk according to this certain frequency. I want to show you how this works. Shane, play my first song. I want you to listen to this and see if it does anything to you.
This is our next one, number 230. Very familiar, I know, for you. Number 230, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Lift it up all together now.
Amazing Grace.
What is wrong with y'all's heads? There's so many people going, why that direction? Why y'all? There was like 8 or 9 people. How many people in here was raised in a Baptist church? Raise your hand. Man, do you feel this? Does it take you back? You know what I'm talking about? Man, I can smell the pew. Just had an old wood smell to it. All right, thanks. That's good. Now some of us wasn't raised in churches like that, were we? Give me my second one. You don't even know what the song is.
Down here on the main floor, put your hands together. Let's praise God for a minute. Come on.
Tracy went from no to yes. Does it do anything to you, Jason? Do you remember that sound? Anybody remember that sound? Anybody know? What's crazy about it is you line this stuff up. That's good, because Johnny's going to shout if we keep going. He didn't even know what the song was. He went, oh, Lord. He ready to dance. It's amazing how when we get in line with certain things, it does things to us. Tracy went from lollipop to headband. It does something to us. I can't describe it. But what we got to realize is we walk in our whole life like that. And what we like to do is we like to walk in certain levels that are familiar to us. You get outside of that and it messes with you. How many people here like country music when you was in? How many people? Raise your hand if you was a country man. Live, looking at all these hicks. Heavy metal. Some of the same people. Y'all just didn't care, did you? Rap. The same people. Gospel. No, before, not now, before. You got this certain sound that you walk according to. There is a certain, now, let me make this biblical for you. The Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. If you look up that word move, it means vibrated. It moved back and forth. And I believe that this is why the ocean still moves back and forth. Because the Spirit moved upon the face of the water. And when God does it, He does it throughout all eternity. People say, what makes the ocean move back and forth? I know. The Spirit moved upon the face of the water and it pushed it back and forth, and it's still going that way. So you're going to walk according to, and here's what they tell us, Alice. It depends on what we learn by the way we live our life. The frequency that we walk in, I don't like the word frequency, it sounds hippie, but the way we live our life is by information that we receive. And what's scary is we've received some information in church and we live our life a certain way because of things that we've heard. And I want to undo some of those things tonight. Because I think there are people living in condemnation when you're not designed to live in condemnation. I think some people say, how many people want to live a life pleasing to God? Raise your hand. Raise your hand real high if you want to live a life pleasing to God. Look around here. Everybody. Keep your hand up if you think your life is pleasing to God. One person. The rest of us, you know what the problem, man, what a confirmation. You know what we think? We think we can't please God. You know why we think that? Because we were taught a certain way and we got this image and we walk our life out believing that God is a certain way. You think you're not pleasing to God because you don't think God can be pleased. Amen. You want to. It's not for a lack of effort, but you feel like that God can't be pleased by you. Amen. Now you say, well, He can be, but He was pleased in the sacrifice of Jesus. Let me tell you this. If you're His child, He's pleased with you. See, you didn't like that. You still don't believe me. You're saying, well, not me, preacher. You don't even know me, man. I'm a mess. After He calls you, He wants to move you from unrepentance through repentance to a place, and this is a doctrine that is preached throughout the Christian realm, justified. Come on up here and stand beside this unrepentant man. You have moved from unrepented. If you accept the call, He wants to justify you. Why is this the first step? Why is this the first thing they tell us in the order of salvation? You must be justified. I want to make this very clear. God is holy. And I know we preach God is love and God is love, but God is also holy. And because God is holy, the Bible says He will not dwell in an unclean vessel. God cannot dwell in an unclean vessel. So the first thing He must do is put you in right standing. Over there, you are in wrong standing. Here, after you repent, He puts you in right standing. After you change your mind, He must put you in to right standing. The purpose of redemption is ownership. The purpose of ownership is what? Service. God, He bought you so that He might own you. Let me say it like this. You are no longer your own. You have been bought with the price. Can I preach this for just a minute? This ain't part of the sermon, but I want to preach this. Can I preach it, Jason? He bought you through the cross of Calvary. He paid the price for your sin so that he could bring you out of your sin. People run around saying all the time, God loves me just the way I am. No, God loved me in spite of how I was. And even when I was dead in my trespasses and sins, he died for me on a cross so that I could live. And I don't know about you, I'm so thankful that the blood saved me. He saved me through his blood. See, I tried to do good. I went to church as a kid, Robin, and I'd repent, and I'd try to do good, and I'd mess up, and I'd quit. Anybody got my testimony? And I'd go back to church, and they'd make me feel guilty. And y'all know, they'd preach hell and preach it hot, and I didn't want to get burnt. So I'd go to the altar and I'd repent again. And you know what I'd do? I'd mess up and I'd quit. And this was the story of my life. Y'all know my testimony? He brought me through many waters. That was baptism. I was baptized everywhere. All kinds of different preachers baptized me. Because, man, I wanted to make it, but there was a problem. I wanted to do it, but I couldn't do it. But when you really get it, he justifies you freely. Let me tell you what happens when you justify yourself. Job said, if I justify myself, my own lips will condemn me. You can't live good enough because God is too holy. Oh, God is holy. And because God is holy, you will never measure up. But there's another step. Is this the same people I had last week? No. You weren't here. I want to talk to you about faithfulness. I'm kidding, Darren. Darren said he wasn't here. What he wants to do is sanctify you. Everybody with me? Sanctification means set apart. It means that you are set apart for his use. Now, how many people know that justified and justification is a legal term? This is a court term, right? Because he wants to get you justified. There are some things called justifiable this and justifiable that. And they tell you that your actions, you were justified in doing it. And if they justify you, you're good to go. So we use this court term for this guy right here because we know that he's a mess. The problem is there's nothing justifiable in him. There's nothing he did that was justifiable. That's why he said by his grace he justified us freely. You didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. Why would he do that? Because he wants to move you to a place called sanctification where he can set you apart and use you for his service. See, you thought that, well, I went to the altar, I prayed a little prayer, and now I'm saved forevermore. I hope you don't believe that. Because I have stood in prisons and talked to prisoners that looked at me and said, man, pray for me, I'm demon-possessed. I said, demon-possessed. He said, yeah, I've been saved since I was 6. Hold on. Let's back this up a minute. You're saved and you're demon-possessed. You can't be both. Amen? But somebody told him, because he repeated a prayer, and he repeated this prayer, and he said, he believed in his heart, and he confess it with your mouth. Now you say this with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, God raised him from the dead, raised him from the dead. Now you're saved. Now that you said this prayer, we believe you got born again. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't be born again and full of demons. There's no way the demon can come in if you're born again. You know what term I love, Brother Eddie? People say, oh, they're spirit-filled believers. Is there any other kind? I'm a spirit-filled Christian. Is there another kind? The only way to be a Christian is to be spirit-filled. Everybody with me? You don't, I'm an unspirit-filled Christian. There's no such thing. They don't exist. But if you juke and jive, Johnny, then that means you're spirit-filled. No, you better be spirit-filled when you're in the trial and the midnight hour and there ain't no dance in you. You better have the spirit in you to know that you can make it through, because it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit. Step up three steps. Come on, Dave, with your hands in your pockets. You cold? Glorified. How many people want to be glorified? In the sweet by and by, we're going to be glorified. I'll meet you in glory. Amen? Glorified is not future tense. It's past tense. Let me read you some scripture so you'll know what I'm talking about. Sanctified, 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. You see that? Romans 8:30, glorified. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called. Whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. See, we stop right here. We stop right here at justification. As long as I'm just in the sight of God, I'm good. But he don't want to just stop there. He wants to take you to sanctification. He don't just save you for the act of saving you. He saves you for a purpose. And the only way he can use you is if your life is set apart in him. So let me say it like this. He didn't save you to keep living the life that you've always lived. He brought you out so that he could bring you in. He took you from here to here to get you to here, and there's a process right here called sanctification. The problem is we're okay with him saving us, but where we get a little nervous is when he starts asking things of us. Well, Jesus, I'm okay with you being Savior, but not Lord. That's a little much. I got my ticket punched, and I'm on my way to heaven. What? You mean you want something from me? You know why everybody loves Christmas? We're getting ready to roll up into Christmas. It'll be here before you know it. Forget Halloween, forget Thanksgiving, Black Friday and all that. Go right past it. You know why everybody likes Christmas? Because Jesus is a baby. So cute. Can't talk. Don't ask anything. Well, guess what? He grew up. And he started saying things and started asking things and started teaching things. We can't stop here because we got to go through here to get to here. Here's my whole sermon. Y'all ready? Here's the problem. Sometimes this is tough. Say amen. The preacher gets up and he preaches sanctification. It's time for you to get that stuff out of your life. You go, well, I'm really not doing anything that bad. It's just my little guilty pleasure. And you got all these stories and all these reasons why you do what you do. And he preaches on sanctification. Because sanctification is a setting apart. I just want to be saved and not really have God to ask anything of me. Y'all know my story? I went home. I was praying up and down. Tracy's gone. I'm just praying. God, send revival. God, please send revival. I want to see a move of God that shakes our city. God, I want to shake our town. I want people to get saved. And you know what? You keep talking to God, and I believe he'll talk back. He said, will you do what I ask you to do? Yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. God, what is it? I want you to go down there on the side of the road in Rodale and preach. Like right now, Rodale? You know God knew where Rodale was? Sorry, Johnny. I said, God, it's cold outside. It's a little chilly today. God, send revival. Oh, God, move. God, will you do what I say? Yes, yes, Lord. We'll go down there and preach. I don't know why he did it. I still think it was a test. So I got in my truck, and I went down through Helen and Uri and popped out in Rodale and kept driving and went through Mead and Basoka and was back up the hill. I was like, that's the craziest thing. I can't do this. I got halfway up Basoka Mountain and Charles Stanley came on in my head. He wasn't on the radio. He was in my head. Y'all know who Charles Stanley is? And this is what he said to me driving up the hill in Basoka. He said, you can submit your life to God. and see what happens. Or you cannot and wonder what would have happened if you did. I want to be saved, but I don't really know if I want to be sanctified. God, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to preach on the side of the road in Rodale. So I turned around and I drove back to Rodale and I pulled my truck off the side of the road and I got out with the Bible and started preaching to nobody. Do you know how weird I looked? And I had enough sense to know I looked weird. I opened up to the book of Matthew and I started preaching, Randy, to nobody in a wide spot in Rodale. And a car stopped. I would have stopped too. If I'm ever driving down the road and I see a guy beside the road with a Bible, I'm going to pull over. If I got him in, I'm going to see what in the world's going on. He pulled over. And then another car pulled over. And another car pulled over. And I know you're not supposed to count people, but I wanted to see how many people was going to come to my service on the side of the road. I had 13 people pulled over on the side of the road listening to me preach. And some of them, they had to wind down. My church had a smoking section. They just, preach it, boy. I'm like, yeah, I think I will. We want to, see, God's going to ask something of you. And you know what? After I was done, man, the devil rode with me all the way to Rodale. He wasn't nowhere in the truck on the way back. Actually, I tried to strike up a conversation with him. I said, hey, devil, where you at? You rode down here all the way down here with me. Where you at now, boy? Come on, let's talk. Let's talk, man. Let's talk. I even pulled over in Uri. A guy was shoveling snow off the truck. I jumped out and helped him. I said, man, God's good, ain't he? Ain't he good? I was helping to get his snow off their wheelchair ramp so the people could get in the church. I'm just praying. Why? Hey, it's not easy. Right after that, somebody called me for my first revival. Nobody let me preach. Nobody would ask me to preach. I was the pastor of Heartland. That's what they called me because that's the only people that you, God's going to demand something of you. You want to be here. You want to be here. He wants you to be here. But there's a struggle in here. Notice also there's a gap between these two. How long have I been saying? 25? I got to sum this up in an hour and a half. Something happens between here and here. Do you want to see what it is?
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff, ain't it? See, you got to know what's in this gap. Do you want to be the gap guy? Yeah, come on. It's going to be fun. Because I'm going to tell you how to get from being saved to being used by God. Something happens between justification and sanctification. It's this guy. You know what happens to you? You are. See, in my head, when I practiced this, I thought y'all would be like, yeah. Y'all just went, oh, adopted. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's wonderful, preacher. So you got to understand what adoption is. This is a placing of a son. Can I read you some scriptures? Then I'm going to let you go. You ready for this? Glorified. Galatians 4, verse 5. I'm probably not going to stop with this one. Watch this. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the what? Adoption of son. See? You're my sister. You know why you're my sister? It's not just a cool, because we're adopted into the same family. It's not just a cool term. What's up, brother? That's not just a cool church term. It's you really are my brother because we've been adopted into the same family. We got the same dad. He adopted us. Here's what's crazy. When you adopt somebody, it's not like regular kids. Regular kids are just thrown on you. You just get what you get. Adoption, you pick them. You get to choose them. So can you believe he chose me and you? I can believe he chose me. No, I'm just kidding. He adopted us. Now, here's what you got to understand. If you're just over here and you're in a courtroom, man, I feel preachy right now. When you're in a courtroom and you leave it in the courtroom, a courtroom is a very cold place to be. I've been there. Anybody? Even traffic court's cold. You go in there and you stand before the judge and all that. I don't like that feeling. Anybody? Everybody's like, yeah, I kind of like it. Okay, justified is courtroom. And here's the problem. We keep putting religion in courtrooms. You've been justified. You've been justified freely. Now you can stand before him in right standing. And I love what Brother Eddie said. I said, is anybody perfect? And he's the only guy that raised his hand. He said, not in performance, but in position. No, I'm going to make you clap for that. That's so good, you have to clap. Christy, I should have saved this for Sunday when we were more awake. Everybody's like, it's halfway through the week. Shut up. Justified is courtroom. We need to get our religion out of the courtroom and get it in the living room. Do it again, Aaron. I like that. We got to get it out of the courtroom and get it in the living room. What are you saying? He didn't just justify me. He adopted me, and now I'm his kid. And because I'm his kid, there are some things that come with that. It's not standing in a cold courtroom and being happy that I'm standing right before him. Now I'm adopted, and I get to go home with him, and I get to spend time with him, and he loves me. That this comes easier when you understand this. Take him out of the picture, and there's a struggle. Has anybody ever done something good for you, and then they needed you, and you didn't want to do anything good for them back? Oh, come on, be honest with yourself. Out of all the days to ask me to come and help them. I'm so tired. I guess I'll go do it. Because if I don't, they'll talk about me. No, y'all have never made those statements. Well, I have. Yeah. It's like, well, oh, man, they did something for me. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to pay them back. It's hard to pay them back. Man, somebody gets in trouble and you're tired. It's hard to pay them back. Now watch this. Let it be your child. Let your dad call you and say, hey, son, I'm in trouble. You see the difference? The difference is it's not that you owe them something. It's that you're in relationship with them. And when you're in relationship with them and you're adopted by him, sanctification comes a whole lot easier because your motivation is this. I'm his. He's mine. It ain't just about being justified. It's about being adopted. And one day I'm going to be glorified, and I'm going to be glorified on this earth, and I'm not leaving until I get to this place. But I got to go through this because of this, and I'm glad that I'm no longer this, and I appreciate what he did here. But thank God he adopted me. You know what? We look at people, and some people we don't think will ever be adopted. There's always that crazy kid in the orphanage that's never going to be adopted. But let me tell you about this Savior. He's adopted some crazy people, some heathens that worked hard and played harder. Because he wants to glorify you. But you got to get through this to get to here. How are you going to do that? Keep looking back and know who you are. How can I make it to this point? How can I get through this? How can I do it? Because I belong to him. Now here's what's awesome. Here's the kicker. Once you belong to him, here's what he said. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way to the end, even to the end of the world. Some people are scared to death that the world's going to end. I'm going to say it again. Come November, if it don't go your way, I seriously doubt there will ever be another election. You know it's time is winding up, children. Evil all around, it's getting worse and worse. It's almost over. You're going to be tore up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm definitely going to go to bed because I stayed up last time really late. Thought it was all good. Oh, come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I went to bed and got up one morning and went, what? How in the world did that happen? I'm not saying anything else. I know this. If the end of the world happens tomorrow, guess who's with me? My Father's with me. And let me tell you something about him. He's greater than any politician. Oh, you got to understand, if he's with me, everything's all right. This, listen, I love all the rest of these, but this is my favorite one. So this is the frequency I want to walk in. I want to walk in this one. I don't want to walk in standing in a courtroom with a tie on, standing there before the judge nervous. Oh, thank goodness I'm justified. No, and I want to stand right here in this place knowing that that's my Father. That's my Father. Not only is he my Father, he's my lawyer. Not only is he my lawyer, he's my doctor. Not only is he my doctor, he's my financial advisor. Not only is he my financial advisor, he's my kid's doctor. Not only is that, he's my guardian. He keeps me when I can't keep myself. He feeds me when I can't feed myself. He does it all, and that's my Father.
Amen. So now we're going to try this again. Come back up here. Give me my sign.
Now that you know what all this means, there's a spot between here and here. Ready? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Come on, Aaron. Come on. Y'all can sit down. Thank you so much. Go warm your hands. Peter by the fire. Darren, God's holy. Listen to this really close. I'm going to let you go. God is holy. If we don't understand the holiness of God, we'll never understand the love of God. I've used this a lot, and I'm going to use it tonight. We sing songs about holy, 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 holy. We sing those songs about angels crying, holy, holy, holy. And I was standing in a service one day, and I was singing holy, holy, holy. I said, man, God, I cannot sing about your holiness unless I know about your grace. Because your holiness is what separates me from you when I'm unholy. The only thing that separated me from God was my unholiness. But love covered that. I'm not perfect. Far from it. But I'm adopted. People somehow think the preacher's got it all together. You know what? I'm a person too. Y'all think I walk around polite all the time? Y'all think I'm nice to everybody all the time? Man, I got a cool compliment the other day. Y'all want to hear it? Gary Nice's grandson's got a teacher that he really likes. He said, they asked him, why do you like her? He said, because he's nice. She's nice. He said, she's like Damon nice. I said, kid don't know me. But I'm adopted. I'm adopted. When I slip and fall, he picks me up. You know what he does sometimes? He corrects me. Because the shepherd's got a staff and a rod. Amen. Anybody ever done something stupid and you're driving down the road and God says, hey, stupid. I don't know if he calls us that or not, but sometimes I feel like he does. I mean, he looked at them and called them fools. Man, he'll correct you because you're adopted, because he wants to get you somewhere. We're headed there. We're headed there. We may not be there yet, but we're getting there. But understand who you are. Because if you understand that, you're going to get there. What are we going to sing? What are we going to sing? Here's how we do this to our visitors. If you need prayer as we sing this song, we invite you to come up. We're going to pray with you because we believe in laying on of hands. We believe if we lay hands on you and pray for you, that things are going to happen. We also have got a lot of people in the church, in the hospital, for various reasons. And we need some people to stand in. Come on up, Kevin, if you would. I want you to stand in for Brother Ken. And Brother Eddie, I want you to stand in for him as well. We need somebody to stand in for Doug. Jason, would you? Stand in for Doug. He needs a touch. Carol needs a touch. Carol went home. Okay, good. We'll keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Brother Ken needs a touch from God. Brother Eddie needs a touch from God. Doug needs a touch from God. How many people here believe that God's able to do it? Those are his adopted kids. And I'm going to tell you, he cares about them. He cares. Let's pray.